It's like the old habits don't want to leave. So as you're letting go, they're still holding on. And they're holding on for dear life.
The actual act of thinking positively isn't harder, but the act of breaking the habit of thinking negatively is very challenging.
I've asked people, when was the last time you daydreamed? We were such imaginative kids. We don't let our imaginations go free in a good way.
If God is going to speak to us through feelings, to cut off your feelings would be to cut off your experience of what it would feel like to communicate with God.
Get on my motherfucking face.
Please.
Push the goddamn button.
Action.
What about adulting took you by surprise?
Ooh, you want me to go first?
If you want. I have an answer.
Oh, go ahead.
Do you have an answer?
No.
Oh, word. My answer is, the thing about adulting that took me by surprise is it's all made up. Like, you make it up as you go.
Oh, my gosh. That part, I did not, like, okay. You be thinking that adults have everything all together, or like when we were looking at our parents, thinking that it was all like, okay, y'all followed these instructions to get to this point. And it's like, no, you just making stuff up. Like, what? And then y'all told me to stop using my imagination in school. And then when I get older, I gotta make stuff up. What? I'm sorry. That took me by surprise. Your answer being that took me by surprise.
So, actually, unlearning the fact that you don't have to have it all together, or unlearning the idea that you have to have it all together. It's like every day you could make something up.
I don't even think having it all together exists.
It doesn't. So eliminating that idea, or unlearning the idea of having it all together, whatever that looks like.
If you got it all together, let us know in the comments. We want to talk to you.
Send me an ebook.
Or we want to interview you.
I don't even know what having it all together really means in a general sense. I don't know if that's just a matter of having all of your stuff, being in control of all of your stuff, or I don't know if that's a matter of, I don't know what it means, but I know most people don't have it all together. I don't know anybody who has it all together. Usually people have one or two aspects of their life they're doing really well in. And then the other ones, they're like, you know, it's all right. I mean, those things are a wash, but I'm rich, you know? So I may not have my emotions together, but I'm rich, bitch. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. Yeah, I definitely agree.
What's one thing that caught you by surprise?
I like how you tried to throw that over here, because it was definitely your turn to answer. Wow. Crazy deflection. So, one thing that caught me by surprise. I don't think I have anything different at the moment. I mean, I guess just how much stuff is made up, or how much stuff we agree to that is made up. I'll put it like this. I think I didn't realize how many things that I thought people put a lot of thought into that they did not put any thought into. So there's so many things where I'm like, oh, somebody had to think about this thoroughly. Otherwise, why are we doing it? And then as I'm becoming an adult, I'm like, did anybody think about this before we all agreed to do this? Like, this doesn't make sense. They're charging us for water? You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, I can't live without water, but you're going to charge me for it? Like,
things that God gave us for free?
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's all I was thinking. Like, the stuff that I didn't realize that we just all agreed to. My brain is now learning, like, oh, we just all agreed to it. Nobody questioned anything. Mm-hmm. Nobody said, hey. Or if somebody did question it, most of us didn't. So we just kind of like, all right, well, I mean, he questioned it, but everybody else is kind of getting by. So this is how we
operate. How we do.
I just didn't realize that most people, we just didn't think about stuff that deeply. Go ahead. That's me.
I agree.
She's still on God now.
Yeah. That's one of the main things.
You know, like, you know what? Thing that caught me by surprise is the sky really blue.
I mean, it is really blue out there.
But the sky might be the ocean, but that's a different conversation.
Oh, man.
We ready. We ready when you are.
It's one thing that really caught me by surprise. I actually did have something, and you
made me forget. My bad.
So you were saying, you said that everything is made up, and you said the fact that everybody agreed to all this random made up stuff. For me, you know what? It was actually surprising. One of the things that's very surprising for me is, how. I guess the fact that most people don't think outside of their box or their space and have no desire to. I think that was something that caught me by surprise because as you look at things and you're like, okay, this doesn't make sense. Why would we all agree to this? And then you're like, well, let's just change it. Or you're not the only person who feels like it doesn't make sense. Other people are talking about it and you're like, okay, let's just go ahead and do this and, you know, we can make whatever change, and people be like, no.
I feel like it's easier to go along than to.
And I think that's what surprised me, because of the fact that, like, in school, like, of course they're teaching us to be followers, but you hear, or at least when I was growing up, I heard a lot of, like, you know, be a leader, not a follower, and stuff like that. And then when you get out into the real world, it's like, oh, y'all don't actually want to change anything.
And I think it's because everybody who was a leader got killed.
Yeah, but
not everybody. But
I wasn't even talking about us. I'm not even talking about on a larger scale of, like, literally. Like Martin Luther King or Malcolm X and all that stuff. I'm even just talking about, let's change the rules in the lunchroom. Like, smaller things.
But then it's like, the people who orchestrate this stuff, now they radical, or they are the problem the problem child or problem makers. So they, a lot of times, they get in trouble.
Yeah, I know, I get that.
So, but, like, on a child standpoint, you might get suspended. You might get ISS. As an adult in the real world, if you shake something up, you could go to prison. You could be
for changing unalive. The lunch rules.
So everybody gets an extra slice of pizza, and then I'm going to jail.
Right? But that's why I was talking about, even on just like a smaller scale of, like, it don't even have to be like a thing where. We're being an activist for something. It literally might be a thing where, like, okay, us putting everything in this row doesn't make sense. If we use both rows that are here, we could do this a lot faster. And a lot of people be like, no.
Absolutely. Because the rules say this. So why are we going against the rules? So now you're not even going to have, some people going to be like, that's smart. But they're not really going to be. I feel like people are more afraid of the consequences than the reward.
Yeah. I mean, that's how stuff typically is set up. Because a lot of things in this world, in this life, is built off of fear. So, like, I mean, people are already afraid of a lot of things. I mean, with reason. But it's also, it was a surprise to me, I feel like, because of the, and it's not everybody's responsibility to fight for everything.
Yeah, everybody's not supposed to be on the front line.
They're not.
Some people supposed to be making dinner for the people on the front line.
Exactly. Some people supposed to be taking a nap, okay, so that they can live to fight another day. But I think that was surprising to me that so many people were just fine with thinking within whatever frame of reference that they had. I mean, even just as far as, like, moving to a new place, or even just, like, traveling to a new place, experiencing a new type of food. there's a lot more people out here who are afraid of experiencing new things than they are of everything not changing and going to shit.
I think you could go ahead if you were about to say something.
You can finish.
With experiencing new things, it's uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. So the new experience equals uncomfortability, possibly. So the possibility of being uncomfortable may scare a lot of people. I mean, life is uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Like, life is uncomfortable. Like, in order to grow and change, evolve, it's uncomfortable. That's why they call it growing pain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but as a child, I feel like I used to think that adults were just out here doing stuff.
Yeah, they don't be doing nothing.
Like, that's the thing. That's why I was shocked, because I'm like, oh, this is, y'all really just go to work, go home?
And the wild thing is, mm-hmm. I be feeling like I don't be doing nothing, but I be seeing myself doing stuff.
That's hilarious. Dang, what were the last things you said?
What's your name?
Oh, I almost called you a totally different name. Go ahead. Yeah, you good.
People be, I was surprised because people don't like to experience new things.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, when it comes to the experiencing new things, I'm learning that it's not even just a conscious thing. It's really a subconscious thing, because I think it's a level of, and I talked about this before, but uncertainty, right? So because your brain because your brain likes patterns, and because it just likes certainty in general, the idea of experiencing new things means that I'm going to break a pattern and I have nothing to compare this to. So when you don't have anything to compare it to, it naturally makes you feel uncomfortable, because it's like, I don't know what to do with this. What do I label this? What do I call this? Is this going to be good? Is this going to be bad? And I think a lot of people are hesitant because you don't have a frame of reference in your past to decide what this new experience is going to be. You literally have to go into the new experience and just let it and determine what it feels like in the moment. And that's scary for a lot of people.
Yeah, and I think that because I thought that adults was just out here, they was just out here experiencing, exploring, mm-hmm. traveling, that I also did not know how much things cost when I was a child. Mm-hmm. So, like, I'm thinking that adults just out here, you know, I know y'all be on the cruises, catching flights, whatever. In my head, I'm like, that's what adulthood is going to look like for me. But then you also encounter a lot more people who, I mean, even for me, like, moving and stuff like that, you encounter a lot more people who are like, I'm going to stay in this town forever. I don't want to move. Which is fine. I just thought everybody was just doing stuff.
Yeah. And I feel like for us, we got to travel. Everybody didn't get...
That's true.
Get the opportunity to travel. We ain't travel every single year, but we traveled enough.
Yeah, we took a couple trips.
Mm-hmm. Regardless for what it was for, we had the luxury of seeing other places. Mm-hmm. So seeing outside of Jersey or Delaware, and we're not just American.
Oh yeah. So
we have heritage in different places, which even if we didn't meet them, something in us is telling us that this isn't all that life is. Mm-hmm. So
that makes sense. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where I got the frame of reference that adults was just out here doing everything.
I mean, but if it seemed like they got it all together, and you seeing people take trips, you took trips with your parents.
I have been left at home. At like Nana. Remember mm-hmm. when they went on their anniversary trip? We was at Nana Pop-Up House. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm like, so this is what adults do.
Adults do things, but didn't see what adults do.
Right. Mm. Okay. I was looking through the window.
Yeah, looking through the peephole. Mm-hmm. The vision was...
it was blurry.
That's hilarious.
What's something... Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say something else that I thought that caught me by surprise was I actually thought I would be fundamentally different when I was an adult than I actually am. So I thought there was going to be a huge transition from me being feeling like a kid and all of this stuff to me feeling like an adult, it is not a big difference at all.
I feel like a big kid.
Yeah, it's just...
As an adult, you just by yourself.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Yeah, no babysitter.
That's what I'm saying. And it almost feels like how it feels like you're getting thrown into a new sport as an adult. That's really what it feels like. And it's like, but your like your body hasn't figured out how to do the movements correct, so you're not coordinated. That's what it feels like to me. But you're still you. But you just kind of got threw into a whole new
baby giraffe. That's what
you,
I
yeah, mean. Yeah. Literally, it's just like, wait, what is this? And nobody explains to you how to do nothing. You just kind of like start doing stuff, and you're like, all right, I'm kind of figuring it out. And then it's like, oh, there's a roadblock. I learned how to jump today, and it's like jump. I just learned how to walk yesterday. Like,
but I see a hole underneath.
You know what I'm saying?
No wonder.
And then I thought that at some point I would feel like, yup, this is it. We walking in stride. We walking in adulthood. No, it don't feel that way at all. And I'm looking at other people, and I'm seeing the kid in everybody. And I'm like, wow. I thought, did everybody just look and feel like more adults when I was younger?
It's because you're smaller, so all the adults are a lot bigger. And they look like, it is a, I don't want to say, they just look a lot bigger and stronger and like they got it all together. Mm-hmm. I was just saying, everybody is so much bigger than mm-hmm. you. So they look a lot more grand, and it's like a, oh, that's an adult. Mm-hmm. Then when I started growing, I'm like, hell, pop. Mm-hmm. I thought you was tall.
Yo, that's crazy.
I will say, I thought I would look and feel different as an adult. I did. And also, this is what I was going to say. Realizing how old people were at the time of like our childhood memory. So finding out like, okay, I remember this situation happened. You was only in your 20s? Now it makes sense. Like, how did you even do all of that in your 20s? Like, I was here in your 20s, and you were doing this? That's a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, so I think that's something that shocks me every single time, because looking at your parents and thinking that they got it all together, also when you're a child, you think everybody is old.
That's what you took exactly what I was about to say. Go ahead.
You think everybody is old. Like, you're six. Somebody say they 15. Oh, you old? Like, somebody's 20. Oh, my gosh, you that old? Like, and then you get there, and you be like, wow, you wasn't that old.
And that's what I was saying. I thought I was going to feel fundamentally different. When I got to my latter 20s, when I got to my latter 20s, I didn't feel any different than when I was in my early 20s, except I guess I'm looking at the timeline of what stuff is supposed to be like, and I'm like, dang, I didn't realize I was this old, I guess, in terms of whatever society. I didn't realize I was this old, but I don't feel that old. So, like, it's just a weird thing, because I don't know why I thought it was going to be a switch that somebody hit, and then you're like, all right, cool, mature. I feel it, you know, and it's like, it doesn't ever feel like that, at least to me.
It's because we lost 3 years, so. But yeah, we lost 3 years.
I don't even think that would have made a difference. Honestly, I don't think it, I think I still would have felt this way, because I don't necessarily feel a difference, except for it'll be little stuff and it's like, oh wow, okay, you can't do it exactly how you used to do it anymore. But I don't feel like I can't do it exactly how I used to do it anymore. Mm-hmm. But it's like, oh wow, it's a little bit harder to do some of the things that I used to do consistently. So it's just an interesting transition.
I was just gonna say, did you wanna say something?
I was gonna say, at 27, I did feel like, okay, you are an adult, but it was more so just like, you got older. It was like you hit a milestone birthday. It's what it felt like, versus like I suddenly, I don't even, I didn't change at the core. Like, it was still me, the child, but also the adult. It's like, we make the decisions. That's what it felt like. Go ahead. That's what it felt like.
I agree.
27, I don't know what's something about 27, mm-hmm. but that's when I realized, I was like, oh, wow, you are actually the adult. And I was living by myself. So it was like, I'm actually the adult. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that I was going to say, something else that caught me by surprise was the lack of thinking in life. Like, similar to what Damani said, like, y'all didn't put any thought into this.
Oh, show. Yeah.
But in general, like, people don't think, which is some, it's a good thing and a bad thing. It's a gift and a curse, I believe. Because you could think too much, and you could also not think enough. So finding that balance, I'm in the process of finding the balance, the harmony between thinking and not thinking.
Mm. Yeah.
But the fact that I can honestly say 90% of people don't think. I just be like, wow. Like 90% of adults do not think. It's go. And then once you get your routine and your patterns and your habits, you on autopilot. So then that goes back to not even really experiencing life or experiencing new things, because if you experience new things or get put into a new environment, now you have to change your thinking. And that's why stuff be happening, like people be swearing their life gonna change when they move somewhere else, but their actions and habits and everything stay the same, like they was in the same place. So now they moving like they was in the same place in this new place, thinking something gonna change, but nothing changed. And I'll be like, that's wild.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I had heard somebody say that once something becomes a habit, it becomes invisible to you. So you don't see it anymore. So you have to make a conscious effort to be able to see the habits that you're actually doing on a regular basis. And so, yeah, I think along with that, with the people not thinking and getting in the habit of thinking, and I won't say people aren't thinking, I don't think people think critically. So I think people, they think about it enough of, to the point where they're thinking, hey, does this make me uncomfortable or does it make me comfortable? And then it stops there. It doesn't go past that. I think the level after it, where you're thinking, all right, and then what? And then what? And then what? People don't even get to those levels of thinking. And I also don't think people use their imagination, which is what you were kind of talking about. People don't use their imagination nearly as much as they could, and I don't think people realize how often their imagination can benefit them in their everyday life. So that was a big surprise to me. I'm looking around at people, I'm like, wow, you don't imagine nothing. Or you don't imagine nothing positive. Everything is negative.
Oh my gosh. People don't realize that they still use their imagination. But like, when you ask people, like, I've asked people, when was the last time you daydreamed? And they just be like, what? Like, when was the last time that you just let yourself daydream? It's like, I don't daydream. Okay, don't say that like that deserves an award. Like, yeah. When was the last time you sat and you visualized something? Oh, yeah, I be visualizing. That is daydreaming.
Yeah.
Like, it just got a different name. They gave you an adult name for daydreaming. Like, it's crazy to me because we were such imaginative kids. And then I know we were partially like taught to like not daydream, not because, you know, you not paying attention in class, you daydream and you think about other stuff. But it's like we don't let our imaginations go free in a good way anymore. We only let ourselves imagine that's the thing. That's we only allow ourselves to imagine the bad things because we don't look at it as like using our imagination. We're just like, oh, I'm just freaking out right now. And it's like, if you stop and think for a second, what you're freaking out about has not happened, which means that it's not real, which means that you are using your imagination to create a scenario that is not in your favor and is not in your favor in the present or the future. So use your imagination to change what you're thinking. And it's a lot easier said than done, but once you start paying attention to it, it's like, okay, once I learned that, it was hard for me to unlearn the fact that I'm in control of these thoughts.
I would say, to be honest, I think it's easier done than said. I think it really doesn't take as much.
That is true.
It doesn't take as much for you to think. It doesn't take any. It really takes no more effort to think positively than it does to think negatively. You're just more. You've developed a bigger a more defined habit of thinking negatively. So your go-to is your default is where I'm going into this new experience. It's going to be bad. It's going to happen. All my money going to go. And you'd be like, hold on. None of this happened. Like you can also imagine the positive. And I think the trick is just understanding that you just developed a habit. It's not harder. You just have a habit of doing the negative thing more than the positive.
I was just going to say, I think as humans, we gravitate to the negative more than the positive.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's easier said than done, rather than easier done than said. And you actually have to be like aware and conscious. And like it's a conscious decision. And if you constantly distracted, and I agree, it don't take no more energy. Mm-hmm. But it's a lot easier to focus on the negative than the positive, because by human nature, we're attracted to negative circumstances, negative events. I feel as though.
I don't think that's human nature. I think that's like learned behavior.
Yeah, you read my mind.
I think that is learned behavior and adopted behavior. So like, it's not only the stuff that we were taught to do, it's also the things that we've seen. So how the news now, when we were younger, they also reported on positive things, right? They did positive things, they did negative things, they did some community things. Now when you watch the news, it's basically all negative things, right? So then that's another learned thing of like, okay, I'm getting this constant stream of negativity. Then you got social media. Back in the MySpace days, it was all happy-go-lucky. We look at my SpongeBob on my page. I coded this and we didn't know we was coding. And it's a party. You in my top 8. You in my top 12. You in my top 10. Whatever. But now on social media, depending on what platform you go on, which is most of them, you get another long stream of bad news, gossip, whatever it is. Just stuff that's just not healthy for your mind. And also, different places that we go and different environments, complaining has become the norm, right? Complaining is a sport, y'all. I don't know if y'all ever watched the Complain Olympics, but I say go to a corporate office with people who have worked there for over 20 years and just listen to them. With somebody that hates their job but has been there for over 20 years, listen to them complain. Listen to them complain with their coworkers, and you're going to see this is a sport. It's like the speed walking. You don't always see it on the Olympics, but you know it's there. So, I'm just saying.
She's good.
I'm just saying. That's like another thing where, okay, that's learned behavior. So now, because what I wound up thinking for a while until I started changing my thinking was I realized I complained a lot more because I felt like that's what we do. That's the normal thing to do. Like that, if you're complaining, you want to hear what I'm have to complain about next. So let me cue up my complaint so that then we could trauma bond together and we could talk about how much we hate this job together, but also not leave it, because if we leave it, then I don't have nothing to complain about. So, but I'm just saying, just a constant stream of like negativity a lot of times. So then that translates into your imagination, that translates into how you think, how you see the world, all these things. Because sometimes it's like, this isn't even your original thought. It's what somebody else told you. A lot of times it's like, this is what they told you or this is what they showed you. And then you were like, yeah, I think that too.
Yeah, people do that about people too. Mm-hmm. Like it'd be like one of my jobs that I had. I'm not the person that stays at a job for 20 years if I don't like it. They get a good 8 months, and then I'll be like, yo, I can't, I'm good. But so I had moved to a different department, and then I ended up getting a new manager.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody was like, oh, no, she mean. She act like this. And then I met her. First time I met her, it was cool, but then I still got this, like, the thought, like, the stuff that everybody was telling me in my mind. So I'm moving cautiously. Just observing, seeing what's going on. I'm like, she don't act like that to me. But I seen how she act towards certain people.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, if you're not doing nothing, then I'm like, she don't do that to me. Because I'm handsome.
That happened to me as well. That's wild. That happened to me as well with a manager. I had got informed beforehand that he was a a stressful individual, and then I'm interacting, and I'm like, I mean, one, it's understandable that if he was a stressful individual, it's understandable if you look at all of the stuff that he's doing. And then second, all of y'all seem stressed. I walked in this, like you said it, like it was just him. You've been stressed this entire time I've been here, my boy. Like, what are we doing? So yeah, it's just, I think it definitely is. It's something that we learn from people, and mm-hmm. I definitely think it's I think it's more a habit. That's what we were talking about initially. I was saying, I think it's the actual act of thinking positively isn't harder, but the act of breaking the habit of thinking negatively is very challenging. Breaking habits is hard.
Yeah.
And I forget where I saw this at. Somebody was saying that the reason why we're prone to the negative, or we are naturally gravitate towards the negative, is just like from old times being hunter gatherers and all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. So you and your tribe is outside, and then somebody hears a noise, somebody goes out there, and then they don't come back. You're like, oh, okay, that noise means danger. The other person that hears it is like, oh, let me go out there and see what happens. It's like they had a positive mind state. They didn't come back, so you're thinking this is danger. Yeah, you know, so
I missed it.
You know, so it's like there. It's a lot of, it was all for
survival,
yeah. So it was in a matter of protection. So it's understandable, but I think it's not necessarily, it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be harder for you to think positive. We just naturally have a very deeply ingrained habit mm-hmm. of doing it for our own protection. Yeah. You know, it's understandable. But
yeah.
One thing that I learned this week while I was spiraling, towards the end of my spiral, was that a lot of our old habits and way of life and beliefs and a lot of things that we're unlearning were created from trauma and survival.
Mm-hmm.
And then that made stuff make so much sense. So now it's like I have a different outlook on life, not from the video, but like I have a different outlook on life because I'm unlearning those things.
Mm-hmm.
And just actually letting go. So now I'm forced to experience new things, mm-hmm. right? So me being forced to experience new things and eliminating distractions. So no TV, no movies, social media. I only go on there to follow somebody back or read what people captions say. Like I'm on there studying, seeing what worked and what's mm-hmm. not. I'm not there just scrolling for fun. So it's not that enjoyable. Well, it's like I'm not about to get lost in reading why this is working.
Yeah.
I mean, you can, but I'm not getting lost in mm-hmm. in that, because it's like I'm looking at stuff. I'm looking at analytical data. Like it's just data. Seeing what's worked. Okay, views. This worked because this. Seeing what's the commonality between all of the things or a lot of the videos that's working. Like that type of thing. So it's like I'm looking. Okay, I'm writing it down. Taking notes. Putting it up here. So I said all that to say, let's go back to experiencing new things and life being uncomfortable. It's so uncomfortable because it's no way for me to distract myself.
Well, yeah.
Like, it's a limited amount of distractions, and it's a word when people, escapism.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really any escapism because I don't really have any distractions. And even, like, it's not a thing of I could just eat a snack and be like, ooh, I'm not snacking.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it's like, so like, I feel like that's one of the reasons for the spiraling, because mm-hmm. I have no way to, I'm just looking at everything happen, and it's like, I don't like this, and I'm feeling every emotion. It's like,
Three things. Hey, Erykah.
Mm-hmm.
That was number one. Number two is that what I found for me is that that moment for me was a sign of it's time for me to let go. Like, okay, yeah, I don't like this, I don't like that, I don't like this, I don't like that. But it's the things are kind of out of my control for the most part. So for me, I actually started working on letting go of control. like to stop trying to control whatever situation, whatever feeling, whatever emotion, and just let it all go, process it how I need to process it, and still working on that. Not saying that I'm done, but but I definitely feel you on that, because I even like before when I had got depressed when I was back in college, it was like I was scared to just sit with me. Like I wasn't facing my emotions because like I don't want to sit down and talk to me. I don't want to hear all of this. This is a lot. Like you, this a lot of emotions. I put these away for a reason. I was not supposed to be digging back through this. This is tucked away.
Not this soon.
Not ever. I was like, I'm good. I know how to suppress a good emotion. That's what I thought. But not
suppress a good emotion. That's funny.
Started bubbling over, and then it was, I wound up getting depressed. Then I was like, okay, let me start actually sitting down and figuring out how I feel and what I think. And I think that's when I was able to start. I guess from there, it's easier to break the habit because that's when you start to get more self-aware. Not to say don't go into depression. Mm-hmm. Don't do that. But like when you feel that you're getting scared of or you're reluctant to sit with yourself, like for me, that was a sign that, okay, well, now I know it's a sign. I didn't know before. Now I know it's a sign that, okay, before this gets too, I guess, suppressed or you get too far away from this moment, just take a moment to feel whatever you're feeling now so you don't got to feel it 1,000 times harder in a year or two.
For me, I was just going to say, this time is allowing me to see how close I am to what I actually been working toward. So it's like, before stuff happened, stuff be happening. Mm-hmm. If you know, you know. Mm-hmm. Before stuff happened, stuff be happening. Right now, stuff is happening.
And for those who don't know, what does that mean?
It'd be like stuff be chaotic or very uncomfortable because I don't know if you're being tested or it's like the old habits don't want to leave. Mm-hmm. So they're not going quietly. Yeah. So as you get in these old habits and old ways, personality traits, everything, whatever it is, out of your life, like as you're letting go, they're still holding on and they're holding on for dear life. So it's a battle. It's a struggle. I'm not going to say struggle. Scratch that. It's a battle. I'm not even going to say challenge.
Oh, okay.
It's an experience. It's a new experience to get to
the other side.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think that's for a few reasons. But one is, again, when I was talking about once it becomes a habit, it becomes invisible. On top of that, once it becomes a habit, it becomes automatic. And you don't have to actually put any thought behind what you're doing. So, like, now when it comes to a bad habit, if you're scrolling, you didn't think about doing it, you automatically did it. So you have to train yourself to stop being on automatic and actually go to manual. And that is a process in itself. And the other thing I was going to say was, don't forget your point, was when it comes to the getting rid of some of the bad stuff, I found out that all space needs to be filled, so it gets filled. So when you take away a habit like, all right, I used to watch TV all the time, or I used to scroll all the time, you naturally are going to want to fill it with something. You have to fill it with something, and it may not, you have to just be very conscious of what you're going to fill it with. Because sometimes you'll be like, all right, I'm not scrolling, I'm not blah, blah, blah. And then you're reading, and now you're overdoing it because your body's like, I haven't gotten this kind of feeling from anything else. Let me fill this space. And all of the space gets filled. So it was just like understanding that. So, okay, cool. If I take this away, I know I have to refill this area with something. So what am I refilling this area with?
Yeah, good perspective.
I never thought about it like that, but I like that a lot.
I need to put working out somewhere in
The third thing that I was going to say is just going back to this whole thing has been about habits. But when you're talking about habits and routines, this is why for me, I stopped looking at, like, my self-care stuff as, like, a self-care routine and stuff like that.
Habit.
Because, no, I call it my self-care system. Like, I've been creating systems. Because what I recognized about myself and about a lot of people is, like, if it's a routine, most times you're not thinking about it. Like you said, you go on autopilot. Because that becomes, like, your natural habit or whatever. You're not assessing if these things are still working for you. You're just like, this is just what I do. This is always what I've done. But with a system, you stop and you be like, okay, this is my system for this. Are my processes still working for me? Like, there's typically some type of evaluation system or some type of upgrade. Like, even if you look at it like a computer. So every couple months, there's some type of upgrade that comes through on your computer. Like, you got to download the new version of whatever that software is. That should be the same way that you operate in life. It's like, if you're growing, if you're elevating, if you are moving forward or toward something, anything at all, then you take a moment to be like, okay, all right, I've been doing this thing, but has it been working for me? Like, do I feel good? Do I hate this thing? Is there something else that can be done? Even my morning, you gave me the word processes now. So, like, my morning process, instead of saying morning routine, for that, I sometimes go through and I'm like, okay, this is great, but this is taking me too long. Does it still work for me to have a morning process that's 2 hours? What can I do at the bare minimum? What things do I feel like are required? Like, as far as this is what I need, no matter what, if I don't get nothing else done, I want to make sure I have this. And then what things are optional? Because on the days where maybe I'm traveling or I need to get done with my morning process earlier, or I wake up late, you know, I want to be able to have an efficient system so that I can still go throughout my day feeling amazing, but also, you know, get out the door quicker. Yeah. So, go ahead.
I was gonna say, on my walk today, I had the thought, it goes along with your rising process. but I was just thinking, I could take 20 minutes out the day to work out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, 20 mm-hmm. minutes every day to work out. And, like, just simple, because workouts you don't got to work out for an hour every day.
Mm-hmm.
You could just do what you got to do, even if I just go straight through, no breaks. My muscles are breaking and contracting, doing what they need to do, because it's not really time for them to rest and reset.
Mm-hmm.
So all the working out that I need to do, I can get done in 20 to 30 minutes, have a great workout, feel amazing. I can find 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I can't find anything else, 20 minutes I can find.
I was doing, I started with 5 minutes. Like, I was just jumping around for 5 minutes. I was like, at the bare minimum, if I can do this, at least I know jumping rope is a full body workout. So if I don't do nothing else, I can jump rope for 5 minutes. Then I moved it up to 7. Now I'm at 10. And I'm like, okay, so once I told Damani, once I get to being able to jump rope, like, fully and consistently without stopping for 10 minutes, I'm going to start singing while I jump rope. And so I can work on my stamina and my vocal control. That's a whole nother story. But just upgrading the processes as you go along, because that's what life is about. If life is about growth, then the things that you're doing, your habits, your surroundings, like, the way that you're operating should be growing with the rest of your life.
Yeah.
You go ahead.
I was going to say, I know I usually get caught up in the idea of, oh, I'm only doing 5 minutes of this. I want to do an hour or something like that. And then it would feel like if I can't do the hour, I might as well not even do it. Mm-hmm. Which is, again, anything done in the extremes isn't necessarily a good thing, right? So when you hear people talk about, like, if you're going to do it well, do it. So in my mind, I'm telling myself, if I can't do the full hour, it's not worth doing. Let me wait till I get a chance to do it. And then you wait, and then now you haven't done it for a week instead of doing it. You couldn't do it for an hour. Maybe you could do it for 5 minutes. So then 5, 5, 5, and then eventually you get back to it. To me, it's more important to keep the consistency of the thing. If you're talking about working out, keep the consistency of working out, even if it's for 5 minutes, as opposed to just not working out because you don't have your full 30. And mm-hmm. I think I usually fall into that habit, and I've been working to get rid of it. But yeah, it's tough. But I think it's, you have to make sure you do that. Also, you had said something a little bit before. Oh, you're talking about when you guys were talking about not feeling the emotions and stuff like that. That's a big thing as well, too, because I noticed one of the realizations I had when I was driving, you know, God was speaking to me. I don't know what was happening. I was sitting there, and then I realized, all right, if God is going to speak to us through feelings, emotions, to cut off your feelings would be to cut off your experience of what it would feel like to communicate with God. Mm. And I was like, oh, why? So how dangerous that is for me to be like, let me numb these feelings, when it's like, if that's what God's telling me, especially if it's uncomfortable, like God's giving me an opportunity to see why this is uncomfortable. So it's like, oh, okay. All right, let me listen to what's going on here. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, and even with the uncomfortability and the emotions, a lot of times, this is exactly what's needed and what's called for, either to make the change or to see that we're actually ready. Because, like, we be asking for stuff, but in order to get this, it's things that you need along the way.
And it's like, things that you can't take with you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, like, you got to realize, okay, this can't go. And, okay, I understand I had to get used to having tough conversations. So, mm-hmm. when I actually go out on my own, or I had to start creating systems, understand how I want my processes to work, see how other companies and business run. So when I have my own business, like, and this is all I have, like, I know how to operate and maneuver in different rooms and still be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, you can go.
Oh, I was just going to say, back to what you were saying about cutting off your communication with God, I was like, that's why I was in a dark place.
It was dark.
That was heaven.
Yeah, that's
all I was gonna say.
And Dan, what was the last thing you said, Reese? What'd you say?
Uncomfortability.
Oh, the thing that I had to recognize and tell myself was, feelings are gonna pass, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, even if you can sit in a room and feel some way for 30 minutes, and then on minute 31, you like the dog and up, squirrel, hold on one second, what is that? And you're like, and your whole mood is completely changed. I think we're afraid of feeling it because we don't know how long the feeling is gonna last. But it's like, if you actually just kind of sit through the feeling, then you usually don't have to feel it again in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we'd be like, that's going to be way too uncomfortable. I don't know. And it's you're not going to tell me how long I got to sit in this feeling? At least give me a time limit and tell me it's 5 minutes.
Yeah.
It's like, nah, you just got to go in there and just wait until it pass. Oh, that sounds terrible.
After you saying that, for me, adulting or adulthood is two things. Courage and definiteness of purpose. So, like, you have to be so courageous to act on the thing that you know, but can't see yet.
I don't necessarily, I wouldn't say that that's like being definite in your purpose.
But when I say definiteness of purpose, I don't mean this is what I'm doing for the rest of my life. It's in this moment, this is what I'm doing, without wavering or thinking that it might not work. Or even if you think it might not work, you're still going towards it.
But I was just saying, like, I agree with the acting on what you know. But I think that there are some things sometimes when you don't really even know what the purpose is. Like, you know.
Yeah, but you know that you're supposed to be doing it. That's what I say, acting on what you know.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. But I was saying I wouldn't necessarily say that the being definite with whatever the purpose is always a thing when it comes to being an adult. Sometimes you know that you're supposed to take this step. So you act in what you know, but you still are unclear on what the full blown purpose is. Sometimes, not all the time. but you just know that you're supposed to be doing this. And I think that, I don't think you need both is what I'm saying.
When I say purpose, I'm not talking about the reason why I'm doing this. But
he's talking about you having you being definite in the reason for why you're doing it, even if you don't know what the reason, like you're, if I'm deciding, I'm pretty much acting on the thing that I've decided on doing, not necessarily being like definite, like I definitely understand this purpose. This is also a concept from the, I can't remember what book
it was. Outward and the Devil.
Yeah, Outward and the Devil.
And it was another book.
But,
Think and Grow Rich.
Yeah. But the idea of being definite in what you want and being definite in your intention, I'll put it as I think that's more so what it is, like having a definite intent instead of not having a definite intent. Hopefully that made sense, but
sure. I still feel how I feel.
That's fine.
Yeah, that's fine. I was just letting you know. I think that's what he was more so saying, more like you guys were talking about two different things. I think.
Yeah, I was talking about it from the alpha male perspective.
Oh. I can't relate to that.
Word.
So, but going back to the original topic.
I was going to be back to the original topic. I was going to say another thing that surprised me was how many adults don't drink water. I'd be so confused.
Oh my gosh.
I'd be like, bro. I know when I was 15, I was like, ooh, it's nasty. It's no flavor.
I was still drinking water.
Right. I was still drinking it. Juice was my default. It was my first. If I had an option between a tall glass of water and a tall glass of homemade iced tea, of course I'm going to the homemade iced tea. But as an adult, I didn't realize how many other adults just wasn't drinking water, eating vegetables, so much stuff. I was like, wow.
It really is like that. And so, like, a lot of them don't, and we be saying them, like, we not adults, but anyways, a lot of them don't eat vegetables, which was very surprising, don't drink water at all. Like, there are a lot of adults who do not touch water. I mean, hopefully they shower and stuff. But as far as, like, drinking water, like, they do not drink water even a glass a day. And I'll be sitting there like, this is why you got all them health problems.
Crazy.
But that also leads me to what I found surprising about adulthood is how many habits from your childhood carry over into your adulthood. And I think that's the other thing when we're talking about being self-aware and stuff like that. Like, not eating vegetables, that is a thing from your childhood. Like, that's not something that you just became an adult and then suddenly was like, I don't eat vegetables. That's like, you didn't want vegetables as a child. You hated vegetables as a child. Either they made you eat them or they didn't make you eat them. Or you would fake like you would eat them and they were really getting to go in the trash. That's a whole nother thing. And that's something that you carried from your childhood and that became something for you as an adult. So then as an adult, you were like, I hate vegetables. I'm not going to eat vegetables. You wasn't like, I'm going to see how to cook these vegetables properly so that I can still get my nutrients. You was like, the 7-year-old that was at that table that had to sit there all night and couldn't leave until they finished their plate because they still had broccoli on their plate. That 7-year-old in this 27-year-old body is not about to eat no vegetables.
The wild thing is broccoli actually fire.
Broccoli
is good. I always like broccoli and string beans.
I didn't like string beans.
I ain't like collard greens.
Broccoli used to smell disgusting. I don't know what it was when it was cooked, but it used to. And then all of a sudden, as an adult, I said, yo, that's, who making that broccoli?
They be,
me and Bree.
Who seasoned that?
I had heard they be doing something. They be, like, rebranding the vegetables. Like, within the last, like, decade and stuff, they've been, like, asparagus and Brussels sprouts and stuff like that. I don't know if they've been tweaking stuff in the labs, but they've been
tweaking what God gave us in the lab.
I mean, we in America.
All you gotta do is pick it up and sell it.
But they might have been like crossbreeding stuff so that you get a better strand of it or whatever, so that some of the stuff is like, so it might taste better or it might be a fresher, like maybe not as grassy or whatever, whatever. But
I want my stuff to taste like grass. Don't touch my greens.
I don't want my stuff to taste.
Not to taste like grass, grass, but I want the, I want the flavor that God gave me.
I don't know. I don't know what they really be doing, but I did see something about them like rebranding a lot of the vegetables now, and like that's why avocados are super popular. And I mean, avocados been popular, but then they got like really popular, and then like Brussels sprouts made a comeback. Nobody used to like Brussels sprouts. I like Brussels sprouts though, but anyways, yeah, a lot of the habits from your childhood, they definitely get carried over into adulthood. I think as a child, you don't know that. Like, you don't. Because when you're looking at your parents and you're looking at other adults, you're just like, oh, these rules are, you know, adult rules. But then when you become an adult and you talk to maybe your parents or other adults that were in your life, and they're like, you like, so why don't you be eating broccoli? They'd be like, honestly, I hate that. I almost cursed. I hate broccoli. My mom used to make broccoli. I didn't like her broccoli. And now I don't eat broccoli.
You ain't have been breathing broccoli.
Yeah, like, you didn't want to try nobody else's broccoli? You didn't even want to try it out for yourself?
I mean, like, I can understand, though, because sometimes just having something a lot of time, over and over, just the smell, the thought of it, it might deter you. Like, I don't ever want to see. I know you may make broccoli amazingly. It may be the best broccoli, 5-star Michelin chef broccoli ever, but because of how my grandmother made broccoli for 15 years, I don't even want to see a broccoli leaf. Don't bring no florets near me. Don't bring nothing that look like a tree near me.
The wild thing is, the grandmother probably made the broccoli the way she made the broccoli because the granddad ain't had no food. So he wasn't able to chew, so it had to be soft. Like,
there was a reasoning behind it, but that just means for me, I'm never having that again. Don't care where it's at. I don't even want it. I know it smelled different. Get that away from me.
I ain't gonna
leaves?
Lie.
Get that away from me.
I was door dashing earlier, right? I went to the Vortex to pick up some food, and this particular time, I go on the passenger side and put the food in the car. So I smell the food. It's a flame-broiled burger in there. I know a flame-broiled burger when I smell one. And I was like, I ain't gonna lie, I think I'm gonna have to try one of those again, a burger. But then I was like, it's not worth it. But I don't know, maybe. They say Jamaican KFC is good. They don't sell burgers, but...
That was wild.
He's skipping.
That was, he like, that you know was what? Wild.
I'm just going to stop being plant-based. I'm going to try all of the different types of meat, and I'll let y'all know what happens. That's basically what he just said.
That might be my vlog.
Y'all, his vlog is going to be him throwing up.
No, I'm not going to show that. I'm going to...
That's going to be... You're going to get a video of him eating a burger, and then it's going to say 7 hours later. You're gonna know exactly what happened.
That's funny.
What is one habit that y'all think that y'all brought from childhood into adulthood?
Being quiet.
It's funny because you said it and then you got quiet.
But nah, just like showing up as the quiet person.
What about you?
What habit did I bring from my childhood?
That's one of many.
Into my... I mean, one of the glaring ones is the not wanting to do what people tell me to do. It rubs me the wrong way. Even if it's people I care about, like if it's like if y'all say something and it don't sound a certain way, it'll bother me. I'll be like, you know what? I'm gonna do it, but I don't like how you said that, and because of how you said it, it makes me not want to do it. Even though I'm gonna do it, but I really don't want to do it. So that's just it's just, yeah, that having a deep aversion to being told what to do. But I think that's the case with everybody. I don't think nobody really likes to be told what to do. Like, at a core level.
Yeah, I mean, I don't.
I'm like, at a core level. I think some people don't like to make decisions and think. Use your thinker, not just stinker.
Not just stinker.
But, yeah, so that's me. What about you?
That's not the one I thought you were going to say.
What you think I was going to say?
Mushy voo.
Oh, my goodness.
He can't eat mushy voo.
But see, so technically speaking, I would have had brought that. If I did, I would be eating mushy food because as a baby, you eat mushy food.
No, but as a child, you didn't like mushy food either. Yeah, I didn't. So yeah.
You ain't really have a choice.
When you was a baby, you had no teeth.
In the airplane.
That is true.
Damani was probably cussing people out in his head, yeah. Like, man, just wait till I get some teeth.
Yeah, it's crazy. I probably was like, what the is this? It's not chewable. Did you chew this before you gave it to me?
I seen it's that nasty. Before. That's disgusting.
That's what it feels like when I'm eating.
I seen an adult pre-chew the food for a baby and mm-hmm. then go like this and give it to the baby. That's nasty.
That's what
it feels
do.
Like whenever I see some people eat grits. They just be, whoosh, oh, that's disgusting. Like bird, like how birds be. Just, and then they spit it back out. That's what it looked like to me.
Shots fired, because like, yeah. I'm the only person you really be around that be eating grits.
Yeah, I don't know how y'all be chewing the mushy, anything that's mushy food in general. I'm not a big fan of. But yes, I did bring that from childhood, so sue me.
Let me just say. What did I bring from childhood? My loving personality. okay, one habit that I did bring from childhood originally was listening to people talk for too long. Like, for a long time, many years, I would find myself in these very strange conversations that I didn't know how to get out of because I'm so used to listening to people talk or vent to me or whatever. And it would just be the strangest conversations with people I don't know. Sometimes people I do know at church, at the gas station. I don't know. I don't think that was a good habit, but I had it. I don't do that anymore.
I was at work. It was like last week. And somebody come in. It was so random because you saw my random conversation. It was so random. He looked at me. I looked at him. And then his girl looked at me and I looked at her. And then he was like, our grandparents are having sex. And I was like,
what?
The first thing that came to mind was keep it in family.
But I'm hey, like, yo, what? You
know, I don't know if that gonna sound right, but that's what y'all doing.
I think that would be strange for me. Like, from a stranger's standpoint, it's like, mm-hmm. why are you telling me this? But then I probably would have asked a follow-up question.
Yeah. They were walking. It was in passing.
I'd be like, hold on, you're not just going to drop that bomb on me and keep going. Come on back. What's your name?
I didn't care. Yeah, you should never be that open with a stranger.
That was when I was at the bank, that's all I would get. I'd be like, hey, how you doing today? Like, I'm doing all right. And I would just ask, hopefully you and your family doing all right as well. Yep. And as soon as I say that, they would be like, listen, my daughter taking my money. My wife left me. I'm like, okay. You sound like you need a hug. But I'm not about to hug you, but that sounds like a lot. You know, mm-hmm. I hope you're doing okay. How did you want your 20? did you want it in fives, singles? Okay, cool. And then, you know, that's it. But yeah, so that's I definitely funny. Understand.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that used to happen. Well, I was in customer service for a long time. So then, you know, people talking there. Then, I mean, in the bank, people love to talk there. I was a banker. They sat at my desk. So while we sitting there, yeah, they had a chair.
Probably had some mints too. Ain't getting no mints.
We ain't have no mints. But yeah, so that's the habit that I brought out of childhood is listening to people talk for too long. Like now, I know, I realize now it was a people pleasing thing. But now I know, like, how to end the conversation. Because I didn't know how to end the conversation without it feeling like I was being rude. So, you know, now I'm like, all right, let's cut this.
Sometimes you gotta be rude.
Yeah, but I was...
Not even be rude, but hurt people's feelings for your sake.
But it wasn't even, like, conversations that it would have really hurt their feelings. Like, looking back on it, I mean, some people might have. But for other people, I've sat there and been... judged and criticized, but I was so intrigued by, like, what they were saying.
Like, it's judging and criticizing you?
Yes.
You like, really? That's how you feel?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I was told that in one of the conversations, it was this random pastor that married our cousin. They didn't get married to our cousin, but he did the ceremony. And he was basically saying that me and Damani's relationship was going to fail when we moved out here, and that something about sinning, and it was a lot of stuff, and I was just like,
I feel like that goes back to the conversation, what surprised us most about adulthood, because even those type of conversations, people be assuming
everything,
and be like, you know what, I am an adult, and I'm actually living an adult life. Some people live like that, but my life doesn't look like what's going on in your head. People got wild imaginations and they decide to use it for the wrong things.
And also, like, that was my first time ever interacting with this person. Yeah. So that's another thing that surprised me about adulting. The level of audacity of adults to just make judgments on your life and they don't even know you. It's interesting.
Yeah, 'cause he definitely was like, yeah, you guys said you moved to Atlanta. Oh, it's definitely not going to work out for you.
Right.
But you don't know me from a can of...
Right.
What are you talking about? You don't know what I do.
You don't know what we do, why we moving to Atlanta.
You don't even know we really moving to Atlanta.
Right. Like, you don't know us. We've never seen you before.
Because Jonesboro is not Atlanta. Yeah.
Definitely didn't move to Atlanta.
Yeah, we definitely did.
But,
That's funny.
But, yeah, so that was a habit that I had to learn to let go of. Because the saying that Damani always says of, I like to let people talk who like to talk, I was that person, too. Like, so you like to talk. What you're saying sounds crazy, but I'm kind of entertained right now. And then it goes from me being entertained to me now being uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know how to... transition away. Like, I'm over here signaling people behind his head, like, hey, can you just come get me?
Yeah, I feel like once you start valuing your time and yourself, but your time, it's like, I'm not about to sit in this conversation for more than a minute.
Oh,
90 seconds. You got an Instagram reel. That's all I got for you.
Oh, man. It's, or I'm not going to sit in the conversation at all. But valuing my time and learning about valuing me, I think that helped a lot. But y'all got any final thoughts? Mm-mm. Comment below and let us know what's one habit from your childhood that you brought over into adulthood. And also, what's one thing about adulthood that completely took you by surprise? Something that nobody really told you about, or maybe you knew, but you ain't know it looked like this. So comment below, let us know, and don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. I'm Shaquoia D.
Badman Breezington here.
It's your humble friend, Damani.
And this is the Gray Area Podcast.
Gray, woo! Okay.
Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. Tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend. Hit that notification bell so you never miss an upload.
Ding!
And we will see you guys next week.
Bye. Adios.
Stay blessed.
Stay black.
You say what?
And know yourself. Know your worth.
Jukebox, hit me with another jam.
Get on my face. Get on my face. Get on my.
Get on my motherfucking face.
Please.
Push your goddamn button.